You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, welcome back. We are kicking off Act 3 here right now, folks. We've had a lot of fun here tonight. Over the course of the first 2 hours, if you missed our number one, check it out at civicmedia.us. Ty Williams was here. He is one of the programmers of Milwaukee Film, and they have a lot of really cool events to celebrate Black History Month at Milwaukee Film all month long. As you know from the top of the show, February is Black History Month. One of the few good things about February, I think we established, Con.
Yeah, and especially this February where we're getting more
Groundhog cold weather. Day, Black History Month, Valentine's Day, okay, and Super Bowl.
It's February. Only 28 days this year.
February blows. Yeah. The shorter the better, in my opinion. Yeah. That is the voice of Dan Davies. He is my current guest here in studio. We will be back with Dan in just a moment. But we talked with Dan in the second hour as well. That is also available at civicmedia.us. You can download the podcast there. Our question of the night is, if you had to share a name with a cartoon character like actor Linus Roach does. Linus Roach was in Batman, Law and Order, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say he was named after Linus, the Peanuts character, because you don't just name your name kid Linus, right?
Yeah.
So
it's
that's
like a Catholic saint.
Linus is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe he was named after that and not a cartoon character. I don't know how deep his parents were. Either way, join the fun, folks. Let us know which cartoon character you'd like to share a name with if you had to. We also talked about Catherine O'Hara a little bit. Groundhog Day, the great movie. We're having a lot of fun here tonight. Coming up at 7:20 here in Act 3 will be Thomas Campbell. He is a playwright and a professor at UWGB. They've got some great stuff going on at UWGB this spring, and Thomas will keep us informed as to what some of those great events are. He'll be along shortly. And right now, let's get back to my pal Dan Davies, who is in the studio here. As I mentioned, he is a Northeast Wisconsin-based actor. And I, you know, Dan, I'm kind of fascinated when, like I always thought when I was a kid, you know, I wanted to be a comedian. So I moved back to where I was born, Chicago, when I started my stand-up career. Then I moved to LA and I came back. You've managed to carve out an acting career from Northeast Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
There was a comedian I had in Marinette this past weekend, Mike Merrifield.
Yeah.
Who hilariously funny comedian. Yeah. He was there with Rob Rackenridge. They're both great.
Yeah.
But Rob spent 23 years in L.A. Mike told me he's never left Appleton.
No.
And he's done it, and he's a national headliner. And so you can do this gig, right? Be it comedy, music, acting, whatever, and not go to the coast.
You bet. It's just going to take you longer.
Yeah.
You know?
You probably have to work a little harder.
And work a little harder.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to own the product. Or have some ownership to it. And if I was going to be a creative, I wanted to, I think you get pigeonholed in Hollywood. You're just an actor. You're not a writer or a director or, you know, or a producer. You know, now Tom Cruise could do just whatever he wants. But I really wanted to write and produce and act and do all those things. And I was able, fortunate enough to do it through the independent film scene in the Midwest without having to move. And I just, you know, put my own, you know, money where my mouth was. With Ed Gein, the musical, and that kind of shot me into this other strata when it became a cult classic, and I've been able to do this and kind of eke out a living.
Yeah, and that's more important than if you do what you love. I mean, you know, sure, we could have gone into other fields, but I always equate it to like the Fabulous Baker Boys. Remember that movie with Bo and Jeff Bridges? And their whole goal in life was just not to work in an office.
Yeah.
And they're like, if we can get by, we are living, man. And that's kind of how a lot of people in show business feel.
You know, and that's the thing, too. If you do what you love, you never work a day in your
exactly.
life.
All right. So we talked about the giant spider invasion, folks. This is a movie that came out 50 years ago. Director Bill Rabane shot it in the North Woods of Wisconsin. Dan and some other filmmakers here from Northeast Wisconsin befriended Bill years ago and work together with him on this. You're not calling it a remake. It's a reboot. You've added 20 minutes. Tell us again where they can see it, Dan.
Yeah, so March 13, 14 at the Hartford Cineplex or Hartford Schubert's Theater in Hartford, Wisconsin. And that's going to be a big event with Bill Rabane there. We're going to have the 4-foot spider, photo ops, Q&As, meet and greets, autographed posters that are originally from 1975. He's got some still. It's pretty crazy stuff. So that's going to be a real fun event. Then we're looking at a limited theatrical for it after that with the State Theaters and then Rogers Cinemas and then hopefully Marcus Cinemas as well and the Swick Theaters up north as well. So Midwest limited theatrical and just have a lot of fun with it and get people out there. It's a film that put Wisconsin on the cinematic map, you know, over 50 years ago, 1975.
It came out the same year Jaws came out, finished. It was one of the top 50 highest earning films in 1975. All right, Dan, now we got to get to a topic that I've been waiting to talk to you about for a while. And for whatever reason, it flew under the radar the last couple of times you were here. But I always see your posts about Nollywood.
Yeah.
And how huge you are in Africa.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Tell us what Nollywood is and how did that happen?
So Nollywood's the second largest film market in the world, second only to Bollywood of India. And Nollywood is actually out of Nigeria. Nigeria is a country of about 250 million people, and Ghana, which is about 40, 50 million people. West Africa specifically, but it's kind of the unofficial film market of the continent of Africa and the diaspora of West Africans living in like Germany and London and Toronto and Atlanta. It's a massive, massive, massive market. And I did a film that was at the Toronto International Film Festival, and these Nigerian people came up to me and said, hey, we're doing this film, and we loved your character. Can you play a bad guy? I said, of course I can.
And they Have you met me?
Yeah. And they said, can you play a Russian? I said, of course I can. But I couldn't. So I would do my Russian, and I'd sound like Yakov Smirnoff. So I had them change my character to an Eastern European a mobster, and that was called Tempting Fate. It did really well in Africa. It opened in L.A. And then while it was in Africa, it opened on the IMAX, and these people came up and said, now we want you in this film, A Trip to Jamaica, which was shot in Nigeria, Ghana, Atlanta, and Jamaica with Eric Roberts and myself for the only American actors. And that became the number one Nollywood film of all time. In 2017, Jeez. It got into the Guinness Book World Record. It's been since broken. But I'm considered a top 100 Nollywood box office actor of all time. Just some dummy.
And like
from
the top
Northeast
five
Wisconsin.
Or something of people from.
Well, in the United States, I'm number one. Okay. So I'm number one. Danny Glover's number two. Eric Roberts
what?
Is number three. My Vivica God. Fox is number four. So
wow,
which is really weird in Nollywood. Everyone, it's absolutely crazy in Nigeria. Millions of people know who I am, which is odd in America.
Yeah.
You know, seven bartenders and my, my bartender, my therapist know who I am. That's about it.
So what was it like filming over there?
It's really weird because you have bodyguards all the time. When you're even walking the streets, going to the bathroom, we went to a soccer match, and that was very strange to have the bodyguards all the time with AK-47s, a whole works, and it's pretty nuts. It's neat. I'm doing a film that I just attached a top 10 Nollywood director called A Forest Dark. His name is Robert Peters. He's top 10 of all time, and I had called him. He lives in Atlanta, originally from Lagos, Nigeria. And he's excited about it. So, and I talked to Pete. Pete has a role in it. So, and I'm paying
him. I guess
I
just got hired. So I'll take it, man. You never know with this business. You gotta pounce. So how long ago was that? And will you go back over there again to do more movies or?
So that was 2016, 2017. Okay. Their political climate isn't safe. They've had like 100,000 people murdered. In Nigeria, it's a religious war almost, Muslims and Christians, and it's a huge country, 125 million Christians, 125 million Muslims, and it's terrible, and it's been like that for about 6-7 years. So it's very dangerous to be somebody from the West coming over from America or England.
That is crazy. So your films have been seen by over 50 million people theatrically in Africa and Europe and worldwide on Netflix and Hulu. Because of this number, have you ever thought about like parlaying that and leaving Northeast Wisconsin? Not necessarily to Nigeria, but to another film hub somewhere.
Yeah. You know, I've worked with other people that are part of different branches that, you know, were Jamaica and Ghana, and there was Indian
would be sweet.
Yeah, an Indian actor from India who wanted me to do a Bollywood thing, and so there's a little bit of, you know, inklings of that, you know stretching out for me to be able to do those things. I do want to get a bunch of films though out. One of them very quickly that Daniel Wheeler is putting together. It was just
Danny Wheels, yeah. Love him.
My brother in Bigfoot. And it's a, and I'm super excited for it. I play kind of this, a journalist who, you know, has his own ideas, but it's very, very funny. It's a mockumentary about a brother who kind of lost his younger brother who went out looking for Bigfoot. And it's funny and it's warm and it's touching. So I'm very excited about that. And obviously Giant Spider Invasion and Forest Ark and Dearmageddon the musical. So I'm very fortunate with all these projects.
Yeah, you're a busy guy. Let's talk about real quick. If people have not heard of or seen Ed Gein the musical, you made a film about Ed Gein. It's been, you know, you've been quoted and they've taken snippets from it in national publications. It's primarily because of the Netflix series.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ryan Murphy. When did your fixation with Ed Gein start and where can people see that film?
So I'm from that area. So my grandfather knew Ed Gein.
Wow.
And he was worked for the DNR, Washera County, knew Ed Gein, knew his best friend. My grandfather's best friend was the arresting sheriff in 1957 of Ed Gein. So I grew up just, you know, 10 miles from Plainfield, hearing all these stories from day one, all these horror stories. So I was always fascinated. So I thought, I was drinking with a buddy in Waupaca, and he said, wouldn't it be cool to do a documentary on Ed Gein? I said, no, because I was drunk. I said, wouldn't it be fun to do a musical, a comedic musical? And he looked at me like I had three heads, and I knew I was onto something.
Yeah.
And that's when I created it. And it's been a cult classic, and the Netflix people stole some of our stuff from our films. So, yeah.
Oh,
so I'm not supposed to talk about that because our music director might want to sue them.
Two words, pal. Lawsuit.
Yeah.
I know it's one word. Dan Davies, this has been fun. We've got some more text. Kurt Krause says, enjoying the show. I want to grab a coffee with both of you at the Door County Film Festival, if not before. Door County Film Festival, by the way, February 13th, 14th, and 15th. In beautiful Door County. Kurt is very active in that. I will be there giving a speech on night one, or night two, actually. Maybe night one. I don't know. It's going to be a lot of fun, folks. So if you haven't been to a film festival, check it out, and especially the Door County Film Festival. Daniel Wheeler, Danny Wheel says Nollywood, and JB Thompson says Daniel needs to leave. Is showing at the Door County Film Festival. So no shortage of great films. Dan Davies, thank you as always, pal.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Conrad. It is always a pleasure. Pete, you're a Northeast Wisconsin gem, and I absolutely love you. So thank you for everything.
You don't have to sweet talk me. You've already been on the show. He's going to slap me in the face on his way out. All right, we're coming right back, folks. Thomas Campbell will be here to talk about UWGB and their theater program, and he is also a very successful playwright. We will talk to him about his work. That is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Conrad playing his favorite musical artist. We haven't heard from her. Did I tell you not to play her for a while? Is that why she went away?
No, I think you said something about it, so I got, you know, self-conscious.
Well, that was enough time went by. It was nice to hear Carole yeah. King again. All right, so folks, you still have time to get in on the fun. Our question of the night is, if you had to share a name with a cartoon character like actor Linus Roach does, although Dan Davies just told me that could be related to Catholicism somehow, St. Linus or Pope Linus or something like that.
I think that's more...
In my limited, simple brain, I assumed he was named after Linus from Charlie Brown. But let us know. We've had some great answers. I said Bugs, half of Bugs Bunny, because I like gangsters named Bugs. Bugs Schwabe, I think that could go. Conrad said Casper, but with a K. And let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on Facebook, YouTube, or X, drop us a stream comment. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome our next guest. He is the chair of the theater and dance at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay and also an accomplished playwright. And he joins us here in studio tonight, Mr. Thomas Campbell. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Pete. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, dude. Do you go by Thomas or Tom?
Tom, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought normally I would think that someone goes by Tom, but, you know, you're a playwright. You're very distinguished. You've got all these crazy degrees in your field, yeah. And Thomas sounds a little more distinguished. But
it does sound distinguished, yeah. But I'm also incredibly awkward and insecure,
I gotta
humanize myself and bring it down to Tom.
That's great. I love it. Do you have if you had to share a name with a cartoon character, can you think of one that sticks out?
You know, you just mentioned that, and I've always thought Shaggy was kind of a cool name.
Oh yes. That's our first Shaggy. We got Velma and what was the other one? The other girl, Daphne.
Daphne.
Yeah.
Velma was the one with the glasses.
Yeah, she couldn't see without him.
She couldn't see without him. All right, that's great. Before we jump in to some of your upcoming work, and you got a lot going on, tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you ended up here in Green Bay.
Oh, gosh, how I ended up here in Green Bay. I started doing theater when I was young. I think I was in my first show when I was like six, you know. Nice. It was like a community show of Peter Pan, and I was a lost boy, and really started to get into it in high school, like I think a lot of kids do. And I was lucky enough to go to a high school that had a really advanced theater program. It was right on the cusp of being like a performing arts high school. It was a really strong high school theater program. And started off in performance and choir and show choirs and musicals and doing all that. And then my senior year of high school, I started to turn my attention to writing, and the theater teacher there at the time encouraged me to pursue that, and eventually went to the University of Wyoming, got my Bachelor of Fine Arts in playwriting and directing.
Wow.
And
this is from where? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Denver.
Oh, Denver.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So I went from Denver up to Laramie, Wyoming, got my degree there, and eventually went on to my master's program at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale.
Wow.
And then I went back to Denver for a couple of years and tried to do the professional playwriting thing. And I started teaching in grad school.
Okay.
And I really loved it. And so I wanted to go back. I wanted to teach at the university level. And so eventually I went back to Carbondale, got my PhD. I got it in dramaturgical studies, performance studies with an emphasis in dramaturgy. And that got me a job at UW Sheboygan, and I was the director of the theater program there. And then in 2018, the UW colleges merged with the regional comprehensives, and that linked me up to Green Bay. And so it's just been sort of this sort of jump from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And now I'm in Green Bay.
So how long have you lived in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, 2013.
So you're one of us now.
I
13 years ish.
You know, I feel like I'm getting there. I'm always going to be Colorado. It's in my heart. It's in my blood. But
Colorado is a great place to be from. I will say, I got a pain in my stomach when you said University of Wyoming. I was a stand-up comic in the 90s. I used to tour all over, and I went to Denver. It was a club I worked called Wits End. A guy named John Cooney. He was great, and the club was great. And then they tacked a college gig on, and I went and did a college gig at the University of Wyoming. In the gymnasium, it's not a stage. They had a spotlight and they had a podium, and the mic was attached. I couldn't take the mic and walk around. I literally did 45 minutes of material not being able to see anybody because the gym was dark and the spotlight, it was maybe one of the worst gigs I've ever had.
Hey, man, atmosphere
matters.
I'm
not holding you responsible. I'm just saying.
You know, atmosphere matters. I mean, yeah, that's the, sure. You know, like, gosh, that space is, as a performer, like the space you are engaging in is so critical to what it is that you're doing.
Lighting, the space, all of it. Do you have a good space? We're going to break for the news in about a minute. When we come back, we'll tell you about a great play that's going to happen at UWGB. It's coming up. But how is the space there in terms of atmosphere?
We have great spaces. Yeah. So we're lucky to be doing this one in the Gene Widener space, which is our smaller, flexible space. Okay. It's actually in the Widener.
Nice.
Which is, it's a fantastic facility. Yeah.
That's excellent. All right. My guest is Thomas Campbell. He is a playwright and the chair of theater and dance at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, a great school right here in our own backyard. I heard it was like the fastest growing school of all the UW schools. Does that sound right?
I believe we are the only UW school to have seen enrollment increases for 10 years.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. And you can take some of the credit for that, right?
You know,
All right, we are going to come back after the news and talk with Thomas some more about writing and really cool stuff happening at UWGB. Kurt Krause on the stream says 2013 is one of us. All right, so that's from an official. He's even more Wisconsin than me.
Excellent.
And if you're accepted by Kurt, you're accepted by everybody and Conrad. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Janet from Madison, folks, in response to our question, says, well, I'm already honored to share a name of a cartoon character, Interplanet Janet from Schoolhouse Rock. That's a great show, by the way, Thomas.
Yeah.
And Conrad, sorry. If you had to pick it, it would be that 70s rocker, Josie and the Pussycats. That's a great one, too. John Murray in Madison says, okay, guys, just lost a bet to my better half. I felt positive that no one would pick Shaggy. Okay. Bravo, my good sir. Thank you, Thomas Campbell. John says, personally, I'm keen to Captain. No army biz attached, just Captain. Okay. I'm not going to argue with John Murray. And then he expands and says, caveman, underpants, America, crunch, lots of captains, yeah, a lot of military royalty out there. And John says, no kits. Good God. I don't know what that means. John will explain it. He never leaves us hanging. All right. Back to the show here, folks. My guest is Thomas Campbell. He is the chair of theater and dance at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay and an accomplished playwright as well. He comes to us from Colorado by way of Wyoming, by way of Southern Illinois, and he joins us here tonight in the studio, a proud Wisconsinite since 2013. Yes. He is definitely one of us now. All right, so you got a big show coming up, Thomas.
Yeah.
Tell us about Dr. Oh, I don't want to get it wrong. Dr. Bellboy and the Energy Vampire.
Dr. Bellboy and the Energy
Love the title.
Vampire. Yeah, it's a new musical that I wrote the book and the lyrics on.
Nice.
And the composer is Benjamin Olenicek, who is has his own music studio, is a local musician, and has been our vocal music director on the past couple of musicals that we've done. Just a great guy, really accomplished musical theorist, and his knowledge of musical theater is just vast. So we've been working on it for about a year. It's definitely in its infancy.
Okay.
And so what we're doing over at the university is a workshop production. And so we have sort of our initial draft of the play and the script and the initial draft of the musical score and the beginnings of the orchestration. And we cast it and we're working through some of the nuances and ironing out some of our mistakes, both with the script and with the music. And so it gives us an opportunity to show our students the process of developing a new musical and all of the heavy lifting that goes with that.
So when you do that, you call it a workshop. Will it be performed school-wide? Will everybody be able to see it?
So the performance dates are February 20th and 21st, and it is open to the public. It's free. It's in our Gene Widener Theater, so their seating is limited. But one of the critical things for Ben and I in this process is to get audience feedback. You know, and so we're going to be holding some talkbacks after each of the performances to see what works, what resonated with audience, what needs some tweaking. And you know, of course, we're going to be probably watching the audience more than we are watching the performance at that point in time.
Right.
So, you know, we'll be able to see where they connect, where they laugh, where they disconnect, all of that good stuff.
So it's like a focus group kind of
a little test bit. Market. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's our first opportunity to actually get this thing that we've been living with for a year, in front of some other people. And, you know, theater's a collaborative art. It needs audiences to really thrive and to resonate. And, in order to do that, we need to see in this experimentation phase, what's working.
So what happens then? Let's say it goes swimmingly and things are, you're thrilled. What do you do then?
We go back to the drawing board. Okay. To be honest. Yeah, really? we go back. We're already talking about, we're in the process where we don't want to make too many changes because we don't want to create a domino effect right now. And so we're sort of marking things in the script that once the workshop production is over, what is the next phase? Where are the more substantive changes that we need to make? Maybe we eliminate an entire song or a scene needs to be completely rewritten. How is that going to affect the composition of the score or the lyrical changes that might need to be shifted? And so we're already looking at what comes next after this component is finished. So when I say we go back to the drawing board, we go back and we really do a deep dive in what
not
works.
Not just tweaking, but like
it's
really,
not just tweaking. Yeah. It's really going back and it's going to be a heavy revision.
Nice.
Yeah.
So tell us about the story, Dr. Bellboy and the Energy Vampire. Yeah. Love the title. It conjures up what it might be about to me, but
good.
Tell us.
Good. Yeah. No, I think a title should be evocative. And so our story is about a university professor who abandons his previous life and he goes to New York City and becomes a bell attendant at a hotel. Kind of has throws his hands up at the university world and just wants something mundane. He wants to be left alone. He's dealing with some trauma and some loss, and he just kind of disconnects from society, his life, and just wants something to just keep his head down and go through it. But the hotel that he is working at is actually haunted. And so he has some ghostly compatriots from Harpo Marx, Dorothy Parker, and George S. Kaufman.
Wow.
And so they have sort of their like shenanigans, and then they realize one of the thing is this malevolent energy vampire has infested the hotel, and so they have to battle this fantastical energy vampire.
So what is it about hotels and theaters that ghosts just feel at home there, apparently? You know, there's a lot of haunted theaters.
Yeah, so I was doing, I had sort of this idea of sort of Dr. Bellboy rolling around in my head for a while, and I didn't really know what to do with it. And then I was reading an article about the Algonquin Hotel in New York City, which was home of the Algonquin Round Table.
Right, and which, famously haunted, right?
Yeah. Famously haunted, considered one of the most haunted hotels in New York City, and saw that some of the spiritual sightings are Dorothy Parker and Harpo Marx and George S. Kaufman, and I was kind of like, that is a trio. That is a heck of a trio.
Exactly.
And so what if our Dr. Bellboy was in this hotel? You know, what kind of shenanigans would they get into? What would that look like? And then I was developing the story, and it kind of hit me one day. I said, oh, shoot, I think this is a musical, and I've never done a musical before.
I was going to ask you about that because I didn't see that.
This is my first musical. I've done all kinds of different genres and styles of different plays.
So you wrote the play.
Okay. Yeah, I wrote the play and conceptualized the story, wrote the lyrics and the play component, and Ben is composing and doing the music.
That's outstanding. Dr. Bellboy and the Energy Vampire, written by my guest, Thomas Campbell, can be seen February 20th and 21st for free at the, you called it the Widener Extension?
It's the Gene Widener Theater the Widener on the UWGB campus.
Yeah. Okay, that's exciting. So who are your, you know, first I want to ask you about this because I was reading about you and it said your research as a playwright, mm-hmm. focuses on depictions, portrayals of alcohol abuse, dependency on the American stage, and how plays can subvert stigmas and stereotypes associated with alcoholism. Yeah. This is a two-part question. What is it that who are you writing influences?
Okay.
Did you grow up reading these guys like Eugene O'Neill who used alcohol, or Hemingway or Dylan Thomas?
Yeah. So the first time where I was really impacted by a play was reading Tennessee Williams' Glass Menagerie.
Okay.
And I think the narrative style of that, the mix of narrative reflection with live action scenes just really captivated me. And I was a senior in high school, and so I did a report on Tennessee Williams, and you know, his battles with addiction were pretty prevalent throughout his life. And as I went through my schooling, you know, it's sort of this pattern where playwrights, writers, and addiction, it's pretty prevalent. And whether that is by choice or not, I can't think of anybody who chooses to live a life of addiction and
unless they're trying to like pose in a way.
I do think that there's something romantic about this idea of being a tortured artist.
Yeah.
And I know in my youth, I definitely sort of reveled in that, you know, party hard, play hard, write hard, mentality. And as I got into my PhD program, I started to realize that the theater can do more with that. It's not just about, you know, depictions of the drunkard as comedic relief. It's not just about, you know, the violent alcoholic. There's you know, substance abuse is a serious issue. It's a detrimental medical condition that affects everybody. And I think anybody that you talk to can point to at least one or two people that they know that has been either suffering or has been impacted by AOD issues. So it's pretty prevalent. And I know that theater can be cathartic. And it can talk about those issues in ways that aren't, that allow people a cathartic experience to purge it. And it becomes that subversive act of therapy in a certain way.
Do you have a favorite playwright or an influence, someone you looked up to or wanted to emulate?
I mean, when I was younger, it was definitely those modernists. It was the Tennessee Williams, the Eugene O'Neills. As I got older, I really started to fall in love with the more avant-garde, edgier ones. For a while, it was David Mamet. And then, you know, I just started to discover like Paula Vogel. And, you know, Susan Laurie Parks and these language-based playwrights that were just being so creative and so artistic with their use of language and sort of like kicking down the door of expectations and creating things that were really artistically captivating.
It's interesting, like, that you mentioned David Mamet. I have a funny David Mamet. So I have his old car.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
It was a Toyota Land Cruiser that we bought in L.A. from his nanny was getting rid of it. And I was like, and it was a great deal. And I was like, it's David Mamet. This is going to rub off on me as a writer. It didn't. and now we're trying to unload it. It's kind of it's getting old. Anyway, he is a guy who also has written for the big screen as well. Uh-huh. I think done his own adaptations, if I'm not mistaken. Do you have any aspirations of that? Do you hope to write movies? Or are you firmly entrenched in plays?
I really feel secure in my identity as a playwright. Sort of dip my toe in screenwriting, and it doesn't intrigue me the way that playwriting.
Interesting.
And I think playwriting, the liveness, the working with other people to actually be in a physical space and see it actualized, and the fact that it's different from night to night. There's just something really vibrant and exciting about that form for me.
Are there, like, you have your benchmarks in screenwriting? Get to the first first plot point by page 25 mm-hmm. or so, mm-hmm. and then third act should start 80, 90, whatever. Do you have those same benchmarks in playwriting, or is it more freeform?
I think I think there's probably a little bit more flexibility. I mean, there's definitely formulas to playwriting structures, but I think, especially with musicals, become a little bit more formulaic. But theater is a little bit more artistic. You get to play with form and formula in different ways.
And the audiences seem like they're more open to it. They're totally. Not like movies, you know what they expect. Whereas a play, you could find something really cool that's not as formulaic. All right. Thomas Campbell is my guest. We are going to do a quick break, and then we'll be back to wrap things up and enjoy a few more minutes with our guest, Thomas Campbell from UWGB. He is the chair of the theater and dance. And is it the department? Am I saying the right chair of theater
it's
and dance?
It's a program, yeah.
The program is theater and dance. And he's a playwright, so we're jamming. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I thank
God I'm alive. You're just too good.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back. Hey, tomorrow night on Nightlight, folks, from Sturgeon Spirits, our pal Carl Lowenstein will be here, producer, director of A Road at Night, which premieres next week in Madison. John Roach will be here. That is a fantastic film about Howard Moore, the former UW basketballer and coach. Coming up on Wednesday from Wisconsin Foodie, Arthur Ersink will be here. My pal Steve Segrin and Sherry Shepherd will be here Wednesday night. That'll be fun. Hudson Hensley, I think, from Song Sung Blue. We're solidifying that for Thursday. We're going to talk ice cream with Cedar Crest, all kinds of fun stuff going on here at Nightlight this week. But right now we have a few more minutes with my current guest, Mr. Thomas Campbell. He is the chair of the theater and dance department at UWGB and an accomplished playwright himself. You've got, here's what you teach at UWGB, Thomas: playwriting, script analysis, dramaturgy, intro to theater, world theater and performance. Of all those classes, what gets you out of bed the fastest in the morning where you can't wait to start talking about it?
Oh gosh. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say it was playwriting. That really is the of all the hats that I wear, you know, that's my identity marker. Yeah. But I really enjoy all the classes that I teach, and I know some days are better than others. And,
sure.
You know, some days I have a really good script analysis class, and some days I have a really good directing class, and some days it's, you know, I swing and a miss on all the days sometimes. So, you know, but I think as long as the students are engaged and they enjoy being in the rooms, then I know I'm making a difference.
That's a great answer. What is the climate right now? It seems like there's a shift in America for a lot of reasons, but like people, you know, the pandemic affected people going to the theater.
Yeah.
Netflix might buy Warner Brothers. They won't, ideally, or not ideally, but suspiciously, might not put as many films in theaters. Yeah. So that landscape is changing a little. I think there will always be a market for it. Where is theater? Where are we at with theater in America right now? It's such a great art form, and it's definitely got a place in cities like Chicago and New York and LA, and lesser in LA, but like Milwaukee. But what's the climate like? As a playwright, do you say theater's thriving in America? It needs a comeback, or where are we at?
I think, from my perspective, I think we're at kind of a critical moment.
Okay.
Theater programs at the higher education level are under threat right now. They're being cut nationally. Largely for financial reasons. Theater programs are in general expensive and low enrolled, and in the current higher education environment, that is potentially detrimental to a lot of theater programs. Theater programs being eliminated at the higher ed level has a ripple effect. You know, we are upriver of the professional industries.
Right.
We are also the incentive for K through 12 people studying theater to go and major in theater. And if you don't have that opportunity, then students are going to stop doing it in the K through 12. So it's potentially really hazardous. I will say at the same time, theater is innate to who we are as human beings.
Sure.
You know, we are innate storytellers. We are innate communal gatherers.
Yeah.
And you combine community and community gathering with storytelling, you get theater. And so I don't think theater is ever going to go away, but I think people in positions of authority need to make a choice to invest in that
right.
as a discipline, and they need to recognize it as a discipline that's worthy of deep study. It's not just entertainment. It's not just the show, the fancy, you know, musical that entertains us. It's something deeper, and it's something much more powerful. And people in positions of power and authority need to recognize that, and they need to invest in it, knowing that it's worth it without a financial return.
I agree. And I, you know, if you're listening and you haven't really embraced theater or going to a live show, whether it's a musical or a drama, something original or a big show like Hamilton, you got to go, folks, and you got to support live theater because there's nothing like it. It is truly everything Thomas just said. Kurt Krause on the stream says, Thomas Campbell and Pete Schwabe both have great hair going on. Thomas, give my very best to Alan Kay. Oh, Alan.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Kurt knows Alan. That's yeah. awesome.
Everybody knows Alan.
Everybody knows Alan. He's been on the show. He'll be back again. He's a great guy. All right, so we've got, I have to ask you, I ask almost everybody who's on the show, are you binge watching anything? I know theater's your first love,
yeah.
but, you know, when you put the typewriter away at night, what are you binging?
So I have a six-year-old and a nine-year-old, so a lot of what I watch is geared around them on a good day.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, on a good day, we watch a lot of Bluey, which
I think
is a great yeah. show. Personally, if I can carve out a little bit of time, I'm trying to finish watching Stranger Things.
Okay.
I have Bluey on one hand and Stranger Things on the
Two
other.
Two very different shows.
Very.
We had, Stuart Waddles, who does news here in Southeast Wisconsin for Civic Media, and he came on the show one night and he was talking incessantly about Bluey.
Oh,
and he sent yeah. me a couple links and I made the joke, is it too weird that I want to divorce my wife and find another wife so I can have kids again so I can watch Bluey with them? That might be extreme.
I have
but it's
never
that good a show.
Cried so consistently at a cartoon, a kid's cartoon.
It's that good.
It's really powerful.
Hey, best of luck with Dr. Bellboy.
Thank you.
Is it Vampire Energy? I've already
Energy. Dr. Bellboy and the Energy Vampire.
Energy Vampire, yeah. February 20th and 21st for free. On the UWGB campus at the Widener Center.
Gene Widener Theater.
Gene Widener Theater. Yeah. That's it. All right. Thomas Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pete. Really
thank you
it.
To Dan Davies and Ty Williams. Thank you for all your calls and texts, folks. Just phenomenal fun tonight. And on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying goodnight, Wisconsin. Just move right up the wall. Their light, sky's the light, so we dance to the break down.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.